Good morning. It's great to be with you today, even in this rather different way. It seems that as human beings, it's helpful for us if we have something to look forward to, whether that be a bar of chocolate at the end of a long day, or planning a family holiday, or the promise of a long bank holiday weekend in 2022, which was announced this week. I went walking with a friend on Monday, and we reflected that one of the difficult things about this time is that there's not a lot to look forward to. I was looking forward to a few things in November until lockdown number two happened. I was going to start walking the Cotswold Way with a couple of friends. I was going to celebrate my father-in-law's 80th birthday, and I'd already had cancelled the concert of the pop rock band from the 80s, Deacon Blue. So many hopes dashed this year, so many disappointments. So our short sermon series entitled Hope That Does Not Disappoint is a chance to think about the hope that we all need right now. In two places in our reading today, and please do keep your Bibles open at 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, in two places, Paul, who was writing to the Thessalonian Christians, said, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage means to instill courage or hope. And I'm sure we all know the impact of encouragement in our lives. If this was why Paul was writing, what is there in this passage that is encouraging that can give us hope? Well, the first thing we notice is that Christian hope is built on what has already happened. And that's perhaps a bit topsy-turvy for us, because for us, hope is often future focus. It's about what we hope will happen. But Christian hope has its roots in events that have already happened. And so on that basis, Christian hope is secure. It's firmly established. Paul writes in verse 14 that in contrast with those who have no hope, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And then in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 5, he writes, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that we may live together with him. That means God did not destine us to suffer the condemnation that our sins deserve, but to receive salvation, that is God's rescue and forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on what God has done for us, not on what we have done or deserve, but out of his love and grace. It came out of what he chose to do. It's a historical fact that a man named Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross in AD 33. He carried every sin on himself to pay the price that we could never pay. Such was his love to save us and to win our hearts and our lives. He bore the full horror of death and of being separated from God, so that we wouldn't have to. He died. And then we also believe that he rose again. Jesus is alive. The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but for us to be able to look in and see that the grave was empty. And over some weeks, Jesus physically appeared to many people, and he transformed their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke out boldly of all that he had done, and so the church began. The resurrection is a sign that Jesus had won our salvation, and that sin and death were defeated, and life with him was and is ours. So our hope is built on what has already happened. It is well founded on the solid rock of God's will and Jesus' death and resurrection, his love for us as we are, not based on our own performance or on our feelings or on all that is going on around us in our world. The second thing we notice is that Christian hope is focused on what will happen one day. This passage speaks of the eternal hope that we have, hope for the future. Paul was only in Thessalonica briefly, and the church sent him away in the middle of the night to keep him safe when his life was in danger. You can read about it in Acts 17. So the church there was young in its faith, and it needed the encouragement of Paul's letter. One thing that was bothering them was that they had expected Jesus to return in their own lifetime. But now, as time had gone on, some of their fellow Christians had died, and they were concerned that their loved ones would somehow miss out on Jesus' return. Paul writes in verse 13, "Brothers, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep." That's how he describes death. And he proceeds to give them a vivid and dramatic picture of the day when Jesus returns. There will be no doubt across the whole world that this is the day and that the day is happening. Jesus will come down from heaven, there will be loud voices, a trumpet call, and Christians who have died will rise from their sleep. Then those Christians alive at the time will be caught up with them, and they will all meet Jesus in the air and be with him forever. "Be reassured," says Paul, "whether awake or asleep, none of Jesus' followers will miss out." When you're weary of this world, or even if you're not, stop sometimes and remember that this world is not all there is. It will not go on forever. When you're fearful about your health or your death, remind yourself that death is described as falling asleep and waking to a new day. And that whether you are dead or alive, when Jesus comes, you will see him one day, and you will always be with him. No more questions, no more anxiety or fear or pain. Remember those words from Romans 8. "We have a certain hope for now and always, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor trouble or hardship or danger or persecution or indeed pandemic, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord." At the beginning of chapter 5, we see that the Thessalonians know that they're not to be concerned about the date and the time that the day of the Lord will be. Many have speculated down the centuries. And while writing this, I Googled predictions of Jesus' second coming. And to my surprise, the first thing that came up was, "Shop Jesus Christ's second coming today. Looking for Jesus Christ's second coming? We have almost everything on eBay. Get Jesus Christ's second coming with fast and free shipping on eBay." There will be no way of ordering or arranging when Jesus comes again. There are two images here in chapter 5. The day will come like a thief in the night, unexpected and sudden. A number of years ago, I had my car stolen off our drive in the middle of the night. The thief does not warn you when he is coming. And then there are the labor pains that come on a pregnant woman, expected at some point, but sudden when they come, and from which there is no escape. And I know that feeling too, but thankfully it's worth it. If these two pictures of Jesus' second coming fill you more with anxiety than with hope, it may be helpful to remember that this is the same Jesus who walked this earth, who died, and rose again, who will come to take us home. That is our encouragement. This is the final stage of our salvation, when we will be with him forever. And with this eternal hope, finally, we are a people of hope. Paul suggests a few ways in which the hope that we should have, the hope that we have, should make us different from those around us. In verse 13, he says that we grieve differently from those who have no hope. Notice, he is not saying that we shouldn't grieve. It is right and healthy to express our sadness. It was right back in September to think about all that we had lost due to the impact of COVID-19. We are human. We suffer loss and we grieve. Jesus himself cried at the grave of his friend. But yet, underneath it all, we have hope, which means that we experience loss and grief differently. My mum's death 2 years ago was a source of great sadness to me, and still is. But I also grieve her loss with hope. I know of her faith in Jesus, and I know that she was looking forward to getting some new knees in heaven, which would no longer cause her pain. Our hope means that we live differently. In chapter 5, we read that we are to be children of the light, children of the day. So our actions are to be characterized by light, nothing secretive, nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to hide away. We live in readiness for Jesus' return, knowing that it could be at any time. We are alert and self-controlled with faith, hope, and love. There's those three again, equipping us and protecting us for all that the world throws at us. And our hope means that we live for each other, building each other up, caring for each other, encouraging each other, as Paul was keen for the Thessalonians to do. We're not designed to live in isolation, and that's why the months of 2020 have been so hard for many of us. Who can you encourage this week, maybe with a card or a phone call? And if you're feeling discouraged yourself, share enough about it with someone else and allow them to encourage you. I suspect we're all in need of encouragement right now. Where is your hope? Is it in the person of Jesus, a sure and certain hope in what he has done and what he will do? This world will not go on forever. One of the traditional prayers in the funeral service prays for all those in attendance at the service, and it says, "Give us the wisdom and grace to use aright the time that is left to us here on earth, to turn to Christ and to follow in his steps in the way that leads to everlasting life." It's important to be right with God while there is still time. Verse 3 tells us that people will go about their lives thinking everything is fine, speaking peace and safety, when destruction will come upon them suddenly. And that word for destruction in this context is not about people being destroyed. It's about them being separated from God and away from his presence. Where is your hope? Make sure it is in something, or indeed someone, who is trustworthy, who has a proven track record. A hope that is not simply about having something to look forward to, that may or may not happen, that's wishful thinking, but is a hope that will not disappoint. If coronavirus has taught us anything, it's brought many of us back to the big questions, one of which has to be, when everything else is stripped away, where is your hope? May you find that it is in what God has already done for you, that this world cannot take away. May you find it is in the certain and eternal hope of seeing Jesus one day and being with him forever. And let us encourage one another with these words. So let's pray together. And these are words of a prayer Paul prayed for the Thessalonians a bit later on. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word. And in his name we pray. Amen. So now we're going to worship together, and then Phil Howarth will come and lead us in prayer.